Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Maria Hinojosa is an award-winning journalist who's best known for hosting the public radio program Latino USA. She's also reported for PBS, CNN, NPR, and numerous media outlets. Hinojosa is the founder of Futuro Media, a nonprofit that's creating multimedia content like the podcasts Anything for Selena and Ídolo, the Ballad of Chalino Sanchez. TPR's Border and Immigration Desk producer, Sofia Sanchez, had a chance to talk with Hinojosa ahead of her lecture at San Antonio's Trinity University about Latinos in the media.
How have you seen Latino or Latinx representation in media change since you began your career?
What's been happening with Latinos and Latinas since I've been observing this, right, is it's a strange phenomenon. I have to be completely honest with you. And I think many Latinos and Latinas, or people who identify as Latinx, Latine, I think many people are feeling quite a bit of confusion writ large in terms of our identity. Now, on the one hand, I think actually people are not confused. We go about our days, we're doing our things, we're moving our careers, we're professionals, we're functioning, and we're an integral part of American society. On the other hand, though, we are completely invisible from the national media narrative. Essentially, it's much better than it was when I was growing up, where we were completely invisible. Completely. Until the United Farm Workers, Dolores Huerta, Cesar Chavez, until that narrative of that struggle, essentially, from the national media, we were invisible. And in the 1930s, we were a problem to be deported, which is why there was the massive roundup in the 1930s and deportation of Mexicans and Mexican-American citizens. But the media narrative, it's strange because the 1980s was declared to be the decade of the Hispanic. Not my term. It was Time magazine. The 1990s, I think it was another kind of like Living La Vida Loca, you know, it was like Latinos are all the rage, top songs now. And then in the, you know, after 9/11, the narrative continues building that we're a problem and that there are too many of us. And then from being invisible under Donald Trump, we become hyper visible. But it's a false narrative about who we are. It's a narrative that says that we are takers, that we are masses of uncontrolled people coming in massive caravans that are going to come and storm the wall, and we're going to suck all of this country, and it's a false narrative. So from being invisible, we went to being hyper-visible with a false narrative, and now many of us are having to correct that false narrative as journalists, as people in the media, and we're having to do a lot of work. And at the same time, you know, while we're doing this work and going about our business and growing, you know, and certainly in places like San Antonio, where Latinos and Latinas are the majority, you know, we're just doing our thing. But at the same time, it's like, wow, a lot of people still see us as the other, as a problem, as a minority, as different and difficult. And it's not true.
I'm really curious about how, and you talked a little bit about that in your book, but I'm curious how this spectrum or this change that you've seen, how that has affected the way that Latino USA has evolved over the years and how you have strategized its evolution as well.
You know, I think that what Latino USA has done best is to be present. You know, because Latino USA has gone through some changes, right? In 2010 is when the company that I form as a nonprofit, Futuro Media, it's when we basically take over the production of Latino USA and take over ownership of Latino USA and really grow it. Our intention has always been to say, basically, if it affects Latinos and Latinas in the United States, it's affecting all of us. And that was like one of our first taglines. And the other thing was to create a space where Latinos and Latinas felt seen, heard, where our complexity was understood, reported on, celebrated, criticized, and we didn't have to give any explanation. It was also a place where people who are not Latino or Latina could listen and learn and be treated with respect as a listener. And throughout all of that, I think what has remained constant is a real genuineness in the care for this community. And that doesn't, we're journalists, so we're going to be critical of this community too. The understanding that what kind of a powerhouse we are, both politically as well as culturally. And I think we've been very clear to create a space where the voices of Latinos and Latinas in English can be heard, and they are going to be stories, and you're going to hear from people that are pretty fascinating, but we're everywhere. We're everywhere.
Right.
We're absolutely everywhere. And you know what? I'm just so glad that the show never, that we never let the show fold, you know, because it's very difficult to keep something like this alive for almost 30 years. But I think it's part of, for me, one of the, and the core of why we never closed up shop, as it were, is because of this deep responsibility we feel, and I feel personally, to the audience. Because since the very beginning, I've had people, because I'm the face and voice of the show, come to me and say, your show saved my life. Because of your show, I got through college. Because of your show, I was able to do my PhD or decide to go for my PhD. Or I listened to you when I was in medical school. Or I listened to you when I'm working the overnight at fill-in-the-blank store. Or when my parents were taking us out, you know, to the field at 4 a.m. You know, I would listen to you or on the bus. And so that kind of real deep sense of responsibility to the audience, I think, is really core for Latino USA and everything that we do at Futuro Media.
Yeah, no, I can totally relate to that. I graduated from Northwestern almost a year ago. And when I interned for Latino USA, and I remember when we were picking our JRs at school, Futuro and Latino USA were really the only Latinx media outlets on the list. And you would not believe the number of, especially Latinas within my class, that were just so excited to hopefully be working with you and working with your legacy. So I can totally speak to that. And I'm also curious now, because there's been so much great content coming out of Futuro, especially starting with the Selena podcast. I'm curious, what exciting things can we expect from Futuro, especially as you are starting to navigate podcasts both in English and Spanish?
Well, so me personally, one of the things I'm most excited about is a challenge that was posed to me by my own team and members of my board who were just, they were like, so what do you want to do next? And I was like, oh, wait, what? Okay. What do I want to do next? All right. Well, as a journalist, I've always wanted to be an investigative journalist. And I was. I worked for 5 years at Now on PBS, which was deep investigative journalism. And it's where I won my Emmy, my national Emmy. It's where we were in competition with 60 Minutes. And so at this point, I like to joke that, you know, like the movie, I am the captain now. Well, I'm 60 Minutes now. I have formed my own investigative unit within Futuro Media. It's run by my unit within Futuro Media. And this is very exciting because we're going to approach investigative journalism the way we want to approach investigative journalism. And I think that that's the hallmark of Futuro. We understand that we just take ourselves very seriously. I, in particular, want to encourage the journalists and producers who work with us to believe in their voice, to trust in their voice, that if they've gotten this far, like you, Sofia, that, you know, you're at Northwestern and then you're doing a fellowship with Futuro and you're working with us, that you can trust your voice, right? That's what we want as for you to be a solid journalist. And I think that when you give that that kind of feedback to the people who are working with you, and you talk about joy, we talk about loving our work, really loving the work, creating conditions in which, yes, under the pandemic, very difficult, but in which you can attempt to love your work. And so all of this really helps Futuro have a real stamp. In terms of future projects, we've got a lot that's kind of percolating right now. And there's a lot of love for Suave. As you know, Suave won the International Documentary Association Award. It's like an Oscar. And then we won. And then we won. We were the underdogs. We were competing against the BBC, Frontline, massive production companies. And we won. And I think it's because of the heart. So if you haven't listened to Suave, please do. And there's more coming up on the Suave story. That is definitely happening. And for me personally, I think the challenge for Latinos and Latinas in particular, well, for all humanity, but we have lived through such difficult times. With all due respect, because I'm sure that there are people who listen who are supporters of Donald Trump, but that was a particularly difficult time in terms of rhetoric aimed at Latinos and Latinas, immigrants and refugees. And I am all of that, and particularly Mexican. So that and the pandemic, I think what it forces us as Latinos and Latinas to ask and pose to ourselves is, well, so what are we prepared to do to match the negativity? And to me, it's like, well, I'm going to match it with creativity. I'm going to match it with doing things completely outside of the box, unexpected, challenging. I mean, I think at this point in my career, I have finally, you know, because it always takes us a while. But yeah, I have the power. I'm demanding accountability. Yo sé que yo tengo que hacerlo. I have to do it because there are not many Latinas who are in this position. So it's a responsibility. All of that is moving Futuro Media to be even more creative. And yeah, keep us connected to wherever you get your information, because we're going to be coming out with some pretty fabulous stuff.
That's award-winning journalist Maria Hinojosa speaking with Texas Public Radio's Border and Immigration Desk producer Sofia Sanchez. When we come back, journalists are often dissuaded from covering topics with which they have an emotional connection. Maria Hinojosa has a different view.
We want to create a space within the journalistic realm where we can talk about the emotional connection we have with stories, because it actually makes us into better journalists.
The conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Today, we're handing over the program to our colleague, TPR's Border and Immigration Desk producer, Sofia Sanchez. She spoke to journalist and Latino USA host Maria Hinojosa this month, ahead of Hinojosa's Maverick lecture about Latinos in the media.
I want to dig deeper into your career. You spoke a little bit about this before, but you have been both praised and criticized for being outspoken about your emotional connection to the stories report, something that journalists of color tend to experience more so than white journalists. And it's something that's still not widely accepted from journalists who are, you know, still considered, who are not considered objective if they do. So I'm really curious, how have you seen speaking your truth positively translate into being trusted with the truth?
Our journalism is fact-based. If you listen to In the Thick, that is much more opinion, and there's a lot of humor there. So we're on purpose doing that. That is our answer to, you know, the space, the void of not being on shows like Meet the Press, for example, is we created In the Thick for journalists who are not white to talk about politics. And even on that show, we bring in our emotions, because we'll ask journalists, like, how are you doing? What's your temperature check? How are you feeling? Because if you are a black man and you're a journalist and you are witnessing the murder of George Floyd, there is something that is happening to you in particular that if you are not a black man, we cannot understand and cannot identify with. Empathize, yes, have compassion. And so we want to create a space within the journalistic realm where we can talk about the emotional connection we have with stories, because it actually makes us into better journalists. Now, writ large, in the journalism that we do at Futuro Media, it is fact-based journalism. But in terms of our podcast, Anything for Selena, there was a deep emotional connection to that story. You cannot you cannot have a relationship to Selena that is not emotional.
Right.
And so as a journalist, I think our job is how do we talk about our emotions, but at the same time put it into context, give it context. You know, it's not always, the story is not always about us, right? But bringing in who we are and showing who we are, I think, helps our listeners trust us more, actually. I think that they see our vulnerability. And you're right, I have been criticized. But I love to say, how I learned to be that journalist that would allow herself to get close to her subjects. I learned it from Scott Simon, one of the premier white male American journalists in the United States of America from NPR. I was Scott Simon's producer, and I saw how he worked in the field. And I was like, wow, this guy understands the importance of making an emotional connection with the people who he's interviewing, because he understands it's gonna help him as a journalist. And Scott was the first one who I saw put his hand on someone who he was interviewing. And I was like, okay, well, he just did that. That means I can do that. And when that happened, of course, it happens, and you have to be very, very particular about when and how. But there was a different response. And it is part of what I have as a journalist, is the ability to do that. Now, if you're going to tell me, well, then you're too close to the story, it's like, well, actually, the good thing about where I am right now in my career is that I have won. And I don't mean this in a haughty way, although I think it's really important for Latinos and Latinas for us to be very kind of, oh, yeah, I am all that. So, yes, I have won. I have won every single award, national award in journalism that there is to win, except for one, the DuPont. But who's counting? But the point is that I don't have to prove to anyone anything anymore. And those awards were all won doing the same kind of journalism that I'm doing now. And so for me, you know, I hold on to the legacy of someone like Frederick Douglass, Ida B. Wells in Texas, por favor, la gran Jovita Hidar, Rubén Salazar. So all of them brought themselves, their full selves, into the work that they did as American journalists. By the way, you can be a phenomenal journalist and not be emotionally connected to your subjects or the stories that you do. There are phenomenally great journalists who don't have that. And that's okay, but all journalists are not the same. And this, being a journalist of conscience in the United States, being a woman who clearly identifies as a Latina, Mexican, immigrant journalist, and making that part of who I am and part of how I report, I think has actually given me the success that I've gotten. I mean, a lot of hard work too, because, you know, I'm Mexican, but yeah, you know, but yeah, it's because of owning all of that and not walking away from it. And I think that's a future challenge for Latinos and Latinas, is do we walk into our full selves in our country, or do we shy away from ourselves? It's a central question that's going to determine the future of this country in many ways.
You are coming to San Antonio on April 29th for the Maverick Lecture at Trinity University. I'm just wondering, what are you looking forward to when you visit San Antonio?
Oh, my gosh. I love San Antonio. I love San Antonio. I have so many memories. I mean, I have a lot of memories. I mean, just the sounds. I love the sounds of San Antonio. I mean, I just have so many memories that's why I'm like, oh, my God. No, I mean, I have so, because it's one of the cities that I have visited the most. Yeah. I was there for International Women's Day. I got a medal from the then Mayor Castro. There's just so much, so many memories. And to be honest with you, it's one of the first places that I'm going to do a public event. I'm doing not a lot of them. So I'm just excited to be with people, with human beings, and to see you again, to meet you. Because we never met.
Yes, in person.
So in real life, IRL.
Yes.
I'm just so happy that San Antonio is one of the first places that I'm going to be giving a lecture as important as the Maverick Lecture, to talk about the independent spirit, because I feel a lot of this is about Texas, too. And I'm telling you, the challenge is, what kind of independent are you going to be? Because al final de cuentas, the truth is that I am a democracy junkie. And so all of this is about saving our democracy. And at this point, the truth is that it is in the hands of Latinos and Latinas. And so what kind of independent Latino and Latina who loves democracy are you going to be? I want to know.
Maria Hinojosa is an award-winning journalist, host and executive producer of Latino USA, and founder of Futuro Media. She was speaking to Texas Public Radio's Border and Immigration Desk producer, Sofia Sanchez. Hinojosa will deliver the Maverick Lecture on Latinos in Media at San Antonio's Trinity University, April 29th at 7:30 p.m. Central. The lecture will be live-streamed at live.trinity.edu. There's more of Sofia's interview with Maria Hinojosa. Tune in next week. Thanks for joining us this week for Fronteras. You can find the show online at tpr.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Bree Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.